Hot Flashes and Cool Topics, a podcast for women in midlife and beyond. At Hot Flashes and Cool Topics, we talk about anything and everything to do with midlife. My name is Bridget.
And I'm Colleen.
And today we are welcoming Deborah Atkinson, and she is the host of Flipping 50 podcast. And not only that, but she has many other things as well. She has a YouTube channel. She is an author. She's written great books. She has a TED Talk out. And Colleen's going to share a little bit more about that with you.
Well, I don't have to. You just said it all.
I didn't say the names of them.
That's true.
Yeah.
So as Bridget mentioned, Deborah Atkinson is a host of the popular podcast Flipping 50. And she actually started at the age of 49. She was a professor and she was also a fitness trainer, and she pivoted. She decided she wanted to do this full time as her career, and she started Flipping 50 and started from her description on YouTube to build up, because she has helped over 150,000 women as of now, which is a lot of people. So she's host of the Flipping 50 TV, which is an internet broadcast. And she's written three different books. You've Still Got It, Girl, The After 50 Fitness Formula for Women, Navigating Fitness Over 50, and Hot Not Bothered, which that's a catchy one that I like.
That is. Uh-huh.
And she talks a lot about menopausal women. And her TED Talk is actually Why Everything Learned About Exercise May Be a Lie, relating to menopausal women. So it's interesting. Her belief is that instead of exercising more as we get older and eating less, you actually should be eating more of the right foods and exercising less to give your body a chance to restore itself. So we will let Deborah do the talking, but I personally, Bridget, love the fact anyone who tells me that I can eat more and exercise less is my new good friend.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I like to exercise, but I don't like to wear myself out. And I really like that about her approach and how it works. So, and I know it's eat the right foods. I know that. Right. I love to eat.
But we just heard eat more.
Like,
we just heard eat more. And I am on her show as well. She had asked me to come on to talk about Pilates, which I could, you know, always talk forever about Pilates because I love it so much. But with a Pilates and a yoga mindset, often things like boot camps really aren't our speed. I don't really want to pull a car across a parking lot or take a tire.
And if you want to, go for it. But I don't want to. Yeah.
But also give your body a chance to restore itself. And I think that's her point, is that you don't have to be doing that every day. We will let her do the talking.
Yes.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Hot Flashes and Cool Topics. We are excited for this conversation today. We have a great guest on the show, Deborah Atkinson, and she is the podcast host, as I mentioned in the intro, of Flipping 50. And that's just one of the many hats that Deborah wears. So welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to this. What a great title, by the way.
Thank you.
We get that a lot because, you know, we were trying to find something that kind of addressed the demographic but covered all the different issues that happen in midlife and beyond. And it just kind of popped in my head. I'm like, Bridget, I think this might work.
I think that, and it was great. And I also like yours. I like Flipping 50 too.
Exactly.
I love that. That's great. Yeah.
So you like to describe yourself as a hormone balancing fitness expert. Can you explain how you came around to be that?
Yes, when I like it better when other people describe me as that, but here's the it's so much better, right? But
right.
I was a young, old soul. So I was raised by older parents, quite a bit older than most of my friends' parents, and had older siblings. So I was getting this culture of the baby boomers as I was growing up. I was doing research on what it was like to be older before I was there, and definitely before I appreciated it. But given that I had been given, starting in grad school or undergrad, I've been given older adult clients. So I'd really begun to work with women in their middle of life in my 20s. And by the time I was 49, I really thought, well, I've got them. We have great rapport. You know, we're able to work with all of the osteoporosis, bone density issues, the, you know, changes in what's comfortable for them that happens. And then, of course, I hit 49. And I hit a time in my life when things were great, but I felt like if I don't pivot right now, I'm just going to stay in this little safe cocoon and I'm going to die here. You know, it was was all good, but I just felt like, you know what? My son went off to college and he's got a life and I need to get one. And I felt like I needed to help more people. I saw a bigger problem. And, you know, I think it's that movie National Treasure where I first heard this, you know, if you see the problem, you have the ability to help, then you have the responsibility to help. So rather than sit and complain about it, I did. And I quit my job, safety, security, and all of it. And I was all in. And then the next day I panicked because that's a very uncomfortable place to be 8 months before you're about to start paying college tuition for someone.
Right.
And I didn't want to dump my promise. You know, that was always our dream and the way we wanted to do it for him. So I kind of shut my own exercise off. As a fitness professional, you actually exercise a lot. You do what you do for your job, and then you always do more because that's kind of what fitness professionals tend to do. We love it, and we tend to do more and as opposed to less. So I went from doing hours of exercise a day to doing about 20 minutes because I mean, literally, I would get up and I was learning, how do I build an online business? And I had no knowledge. So I knew what I wanted to do and I knew the business of fitness, but I didn't know how to do it here in this little box. So, you know, that learning curve was like, this has to work because I have no net. This is it. I'm it. And after about 14 months, you know, I'm editing videos and I've done barely exercise. I have an older English sheepdog. And so he had to be walked. So there was movement in there, but not a lot. And I realized I look leaner, healthier, stronger than I had before when I was doing hours of exercise a day. And I had energy. And at 49, you know, hormones are going like this under the bus. They're going up and down, even if, you know, I wasn't necessarily feeling hot flashes and all of the roller coaster yet. So I thought, wait a minute, this is not what I've been teaching for 29 years. This seems backwards, right? How can this be true? So I dug into what happened for me. What's the truth? So a study of one is only that. But I thought, is there something to this that I need to know about? And one of the big reveals is that there's very little research done on women in midlife because we're terrible subjects for researchers because we are up and down in like a roller coaster, unpredictable. It's hard for them to tell what was the reason for the change, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I realized is so much of the research is done featuring young, more athletic males. And here's the analogy. Why would we think that what works for a 25-year-old male who's at the peak of muscle mass work for a woman who's 55? And we can pretty easily say she's at the peak of fat storage right then. Why would that work for her? And the truth is it won't. We have such different body composition, hormones, metabolism, and even a woman who's 50 or 55 or 60 has been socialized about exercise so differently than, say, even a 25-year-old girl right now or young woman, and definitely than a guy, right? So we're so very different, and yet it's like gambling with really bad odds, right? If we've been following an exercise program and we didn't know to ask, is this built based on women like me? Is it research based on subjects just like me? Because that's the question we should be asking.
Mm. And have you found, like, what kind of research have you found? Since there's probably hardly any research on us.
Right. Well, the numbers are like 39% of all sports medicine and exercise science research features female subjects, period. So if we look at, there's really seven potential phases that a woman could go through. So not every woman will get pregnant. Not every woman will go through pregnancy and be in postpartum by choice or by nature. And so not everyone goes through seven changes, but of those seven hormonal changes a woman could go through, they each deem that there's a different way we should be exercising during that time. And so let's do math. 39 divided by 7, that's less than 10% that features us. So what Flipping 50 does is only uses that little slice of the pie. So there are some very minor times when I'll say, okay, this was actually done on men and women. in their 70s and 80s. And we become a little bit more even when we get to that point. We're a little bit more relatable. So I will clearly say, here's why I do think that this is also true for us, but reveal that it's not necessarily subjects based on us. Yeah. So that's how it all came about.
Well, it's so, it's so interesting because you've done a TED Talk, and in that TED Talk, what you say is very counterintuitive to what most people think, and that's to eat more and exercise less.
Yes.
Right now people are going, and how does that work? So can you explain a little bit? Can you explain a little bit?
Absolutely. About that? And before everybody goes running to the pantry, let's clarify. That does not mean the chocolate, the chips, and So it's both things followed by of the right kind, kind of with purpose, with good purpose. So less exercise, because we've all grown up with that dogma, exercise more and eat less. You're a calories in, calories out equation. And if you create that caloric deficit, you'll lose weight. Well, the rest of that, so there is a little bit of truth to that, but what the food does to your body, what the food does to your hormones, has a much bigger impact on whether your food will store fat or burn fat. So it's the hormones control what happens with those calories. So a piece of chocolate cake with embedded chocolate chips, is anybody drooling yet, is not the same as a piece of salmon and, avocado massaged kale salad. They won't have the same impact, even if we could say these are the same calories.
Mm-hmm. And what about, so in that kind of discussion, you talk about cortisol and insulin, especially when dealing with belly fat. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Those two together, you see them coming down the street, they are the belly fat bullies. So run.
Right.
You gotta run. And here's the thing, when in menopause at some point, so perimenopause is when we start to roller coaster a little bit. It may not be that your period is sometimes here, sometimes not, it changed. But it also just may be you're gaining weight, and what you used to do to be able to fix that, it's not working anymore. Maybe that the sleep gets disrupted, but you've got those little hints that, something's not quite the same as it used to be. That place, even there, we are starting to drop in our estrogen. And the point where we hit menopause, which is, menopause is what we talk about, right? But it's really, it's a blip. It's,
right.
Oh, it's been 12 months since my last period. Guess what? The door is open. You're now in post-menopause. Mm-hmm. And so when we say menopause, we really mean all stages of menopause. We are more susceptible to the negative effects of cortisol, the stress hormone. When estrogen goes down, it kind of amplifies all the haywire that it happened in our 20s and 30s, but we were okay because we had these other things to kind of balance things out and keep us kind of steady and stable. We don't have that anymore. And so we're right now, if I can say this, hopefully we're in the middle of July as we're recording this live. Mm-hmm. So we are not just in the middle of our lives, we're in the middle of a pandemic. And so stress and, stress, and I don't want to be one of those that amplifies that, oh, this is terrible kind of thing. But I think it's important that we acknowledge we got to give ourselves a little break, and potentially the exercise we should be doing right now is not what we should have been doing or were doing in January, mm-hmm. because we have more going on. Our bodies and our minds are dealing with more. So yes, we should be moving to boost our immune systems, to stay strong, to help our mood, and to help us sleep. But it looks different than it did, partially due to cortisol. So cortisol is kind of, it's over here calling some shots, and we don't have as much control. But if we can respond to what it's doing to our bodies and say, this belly fat is not just a nuisance I have to now drive myself into the ground and try to get off, but it's a sign that I need to figure out a way to chill back out. I need to maybe do some yoga instead of do that hard run. And maybe I need to really focus on getting better sleep and regular, consistent, short exercise bouts, but none of this long stuff. So that, if I can drive that home, that long endurance distance exercise, really not good for your immune system. And the immune system and your hormones are very closely tied. So if you're focused on immune system right now, you're going to get the double bonus and your hormones will feel better as well. And you'll reflect to that.
Yeah, I was watching your TED Talk, and I really, which I recommend to everyone to watch. And you were talking about a particular person that it sounds like she did exactly what you were just saying in the past. She was exercising to death, getting up at 3 a.m. And I did that back in my 30s. I taught full time. My husband and I would get up and run at, like, I would get up at 5, do my run, go teach all day, come back home, deal with my kids. And I really liked what you said to her about her treadmill. So can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was Linda, and she was a nurse. And nurses who do night shift definitely are, we got to talk to them, but getting up to start at the time they do, especially if you've got a commute, she had to get up at 3 to do that. And 12-hour shifts, when you're on your feet and you're lifting and you're helping people constantly, we do, that's movement. And that's the kind of movement we did 50 and 100 years ago. Everybody did it. I'm asking my mom occasionally, she's 94. And I said, did you exercise? You know, when you were, she said, life was exercise. We had to do chores. Are you kidding me? And it's so true. It's like they didn't think of the need for exercise because every day, every hour was exercise. So when she's got that already in her life, she was experiencing menopause fluctuations. And she would come home then and that weight is there and you think immediately, I need to exercise this off, right? And so she would continue on her days off then to go to the gym and spend an hour on the treadmill. And she was exhausted, but not seeing any progress, which is what your body will do under stress. It's an evolutionary kind of thing. And your body will just hold on to that weight saying, uh-oh, we feel under threat. We're going to hold on to this for a rainy day, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just not going to move for you. And so I said to her, we've got to quit the treadmill. So like an elimination diet, I put her on an elimination of the treadmill from her diet and said, listen, you know, if you want to go walk, great. Go for a walk after dinner with your husband. So you're getting outdoors, you're connecting with somebody you love, you're just walking and talking. And, you know, it was game changing for her because not only did they start that, but they had a high school age son who I believe was homeschooled. And he began kind of getting into the whole thing and they began hiking together as a family. And they had never found time for that before. So, you know, it can change everything and reconnect you to things you didn't have time for.
Yes, I really appreciated that because I won now. Colleen and I both have talked about this. I actually love to exercise. When I was younger, I did it to look better, but now I do it to feel better. Mm-hmm. But I give myself some grace when I walk at night. It's just fine. I did that. I didn't have to go to hot yoga and I didn't have to do whatever I did. And that is some grace. And I've allowed myself, hey, that walk was doing something. That was moving. So I like that for the menopausal women. Thank
exactly.
you for that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have helped over 150,000 women with Flipping 50, and you have it on, you have Flipping 50 internet TV, which is great because you actually will, you'll kind of pick a topic and then show exercises and eating and everything. You kind of do a full range of answers. How did women find you when you started? Because I know you said you kind of threw yourself into starting the, you know, website and all that stuff, but how did it start where that many women said, I'm going to follow Flipping 50?
Yeah, YouTube was... I'm a teacher, so I taught at Iowa State University for 15 years in kinesiology. And I think I realized this when I was young, you know, I actually enjoyed teaching fitness, but I also enjoyed teaching trainers and fitness instructors how to teach fitness. So kind of the meta of all of it. And when I was no longer administering and training new employees who were trainers, and I wasn't any longer teaching at Iowa State, that was gone. And so YouTube actually was, selfishly, it was a vehicle for me to be able to teach again. And so a lot of my early videos were literally just talking head, as we call it, kind of sitting and talking and giving a nugget and a point about what women really need to know about weight loss in menopause or after 50. And organically, people found me because we were all searching online. And as we know, YouTube is a big place and you can find a lot of things on YouTube.
Yes, you can.
That fortunately, that's how a lot of us connected. And I really love it as a vehicle, you know, and I encourage anybody who's listening to use it as a way to connect with somebody. Because I think you learn a lot by hearing somebody's tone of voice, but also by looking at their face as they're talking and teaching to you. And you learn, you know, is this somebody I trust? And it resonates with me. And there's this gut intuition kind of feeling that this is a good connection. And I believe what they're saying and I can trust them. And the important part of that, believe what you're saying, is, like you said, what I'm telling a lot of women is not what they've heard for decades. So it takes several times, you know, and sometimes people have to stay with me for a while in order for that to really sink in that, hey, what I'm doing is not working. Because we will, as humans, hold on to what we once thought was right, even if we have evidence it's not working.
That's mm-hmm. true.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
It's hard to let go.
Yeah.
With you know, we have found too that with our midlife and beyond group, sometimes it's hard for them to find the information. You know, we're often ignored in a lot of the media and society. So to have that kind of resource where they can go to you and you talk about diet, not necessarily that nutrition mm-hmm. and exercise, that's really invaluable for them. But mm-hmm. again, you know, when you go to a class maybe and the teacher's 25 and she's telling you to go, it's counterintuitive to all of a sudden someone say, well, try to refresh yourself, rest. Talk about the fact that you should restore before more. And it's really hard for women to give themselves that time, because now is the time that we should be able to stop and be a little, maybe selfish isn't the right word, but take kind of like a look at what we need. And it's still so counterintuitive for women who have either been taking care of a family or working as, you know, in corporate world. So what is the mindset behind, I keep saying that, restore before more?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, okay, we all identify with this. You know, if you've ever written that check and then you got a notice from the bank, you've got an overdraft. I mean, we're trying to write checks on an account we don't have anything in. And that is true of women, I think, in, you know, since they were little girls, we've been conditioned to, you know, we serve other people first. We've had messages, and I think particularly us in our 50s and 60s and 70s, that's the model we have. You know, I remember my mother once telling me, this really hit home, it was my birthday, and I think my birthday fell on a Saturday. But Saturday was golf day for my stepdad. So we were not going to celebrate my birthday until Sunday. And I was like, wait a minute here. What?
Yeah.
But I got that message loud and clear that we don't come first. We serve other people first. And, you know, I think subtly I've gotten that my whole life. But that's when it really sunk in, like, huh, wow. Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing. So I think you can't. I think we have to hold this out there that there's nothing wrong with us. I mean, we're not delicate and we're not broken, but we've just been kind of digging into this hole. And by the time we're in menopause, anything that we weren't quite doing right is amplified because of that dip in estrogen and the elevation of cortisol. And so it's like, you can't ignore it anymore. You know, it's like the pick on your shoulders, like getcha, and you're finally going to pay attention. I had this conversation with a client just yesterday, and we were talking. We've only been working together a couple of weeks, but it was that her next week was going to be very busy, and it was going to be hard to, you know, follow some of the tips that I wanted her to follow in changing her diet, her dietary lifestyle. So not on one, but there's just kind of a focus and a sequence we go through. And she said, it's going to be a little tricky because, you know, I'm going to be somewhere else and we're going to be there all day. And so I don't know what they'll do, if they'll order in for lunch or, you know, say, let's get a pizza. And I said, stop. I said,
and starve ourselves every day.
That's right. And we don't want to feel awful either. So that is an important little thing to keep in my mind. If I'm about to eat something, how is this going to make me feel afterwards? So,
and sometimes like the chocolate cake really does make me feel better. I'm not going to lie.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes the chocolate, you're right, a little bit, not the whole cake. Just a little bit. I don't know.
Depends on the size.
The size of the cake.
Like we happen to be taping this the day before my birthday, so I'm already thinking about,
what do I want?
I think I'm going to go for the Carvel cake this year, you know, with my little crunchies.
Okay. Yeah.
It's my husband's favorite, and why not?
And you like it too, though.
But I actually like the bland vanilla cakes with, you know, give me a good Publix cake in them.
Cheap icing.
Best,
I mean,
right?
I would think
as a teacher, you were constantly with those cakes.
Gosh. It was, and kids would come in from other classrooms because they wanted so badly to share with all the teachers.
Aww.
And they would come in, "Hey, I have an extra cupcake for you." And I took it every time. I had a teacher say that would be like, "No, thank you." And I'm like, "How can you say no to a child?" "Oh, yes, dear."
Yes, you know? I'll eat it just to make the child happy, of course.
Of course, I cannot make a child sad. So, you know, that's what happened there. That's why I had to get up at 5 a.m. to run. When I was a teacher. And why I don't have that anymore. My eating
but yet
habits
we
have
still
changed.
Like yes. The chocolate cake.
Yes, we do. But we will have all of Deborah's information on our show notes. But you could also reach us at hotflashescooltopics.com. You can email us at hotflashescooltopics@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. We love to hear any ideas you have, a topic that you would like to have addressed. We will find somebody who knows a lot about that topic, whatever it may be.
If we don't, which usually we don't, then
usually
we will find somebody.
We will find somebody and, you know, catch us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. We have Pinterest. We have YouTubes.
I'm exhausted just
listening to what we have. We'll have monthly happy hours up, so we will share those on there. And we appreciate you listening to us. Don't forget to rate us and listen to us on all podcast platforms. And thank you very much. Bye-bye.